this particular, after Christ opened the seven seals, they go through these seals one at a time and tell you what those seals are as they're opened. Remember, Christ took that book out of the hand of God Almighty. And he was the only one found worthy to open that book and to loose the seals thereof. And the first seal is a white horse. Second seal is a red horse. Third seal is a black horse. And the fourth seal is a pale horse. You've heard the four horses of the apocalypse. Well, that's what we're going to look at tonight. Just look at the first horse. But I'm just going to look at these first two verses. And I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals. When I saw the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. John, I said, has seen the Lamb as it had been slain, taking that book with the seven seals. And now, you know, the Lamb loosens those seals, and we go through those seals one at a time. And they reveal these horses. Remember that these are symbols. These are not actual horses. They represent something. They're symbols. They're pictures. And their riders are pictures and symbols of something. And horses are often mentioned in the Scripture. And a horse signifies strength, terror, warfare, victory. Now, I want to show you some things that Zechariah saw this same image, saw these same things. Now, you keep Revelation and look in Zechariah chapter 1. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and Zechariah is right after Malachi. Malachi is the last book. Zechariah is the one right after Malachi. So it's very easy to find. And here you have horses. He sees the four horses, just like John saw the four horses here. And he said here in Zechariah 1:8, "And I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behind him were their red horses, speckled horses, or bay horses, and white horses." So he saw four horses, the same thing. Then said I, "O my Lord, what are these?" And the angel talked with me and said unto me, "I will show thee what these be." And the men that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, "These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth." Now over in chapter 8, you got the four horses again. Chapter 8, you got the four, no, excuse me, chapter 6, you got the four horses again. Chapter 6 and verse 8. Set 1. Excuse me, I'll get it right here in a minute. "And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius." Am I in 6? I'm in the wrong one. Verse 6. Well, here it is. I'm seeing 5 and 7. I couldn't see 6. "I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass. And the first chariot were red horses. And the second chariot, black horses. And the third chariot, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled or bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord to all the earths. The black horses which are there go, the black horse there go into the north country, and the white goeth after them, and the grizzled goeth forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro. through the earth. So they walk to and fro through the earth. So you know there's four horses over there. And that's what he saw here. He saw these four horses. And horses represent something. And Job asked, said, where did the horse get his strength? Snuffs at the wind. Covers the ground. Here goes into battle. Who's afraid of the spear? Who's afraid of the battle? Who's afraid of the horses? He talks about snuffing in the wind and running real hard. And where did he get that strength? Where did he get that ability? So the horses are very representative of strength. You know, and they go into battle for warfare. And they also represent victory as we look at these things. And the seals in John here in chapter 6 are symbolic of trouble and persecution as we'll deal with them one at a time. And the beast in turn. Do you remember them four beasts that sat around the throne with the heads? And these four beasts in turn, they introduced these horses. First beast, second beast, third beast. And they introduced these horses. And I'll tell you what, and they introduced the horsemen. The horsemen sat on them. And how he announces that he wants these people to see as the first seal is opened, he said it's like thunder. He says like the noise of thunder. And you know, and thunder can be really something. He said his voice was like thunder. And it said, come and see. And I saw, and look what he said, behold, a white horse. A white horse. And the one set on that horse had a bow. And of course we know that the rider of the white horse is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We know that. We know that. I guess this is because it says there that He went forth conquering and to conquer. And this is the one who took the book. This is the one who went up there and took the book out of the right hand of God Almighty. Who would dare go into the presence of God, into the throne of God, where God's sitting on that throne, and He's crystal like a diamond, and all the beasts around Him, and all the angels around Him, and all the 420 elders around Him, and He walks up to the throne of God, and that God's got a book in His hand. Who would dare to walk up and take something out of God's hand? The Lord Jesus Christ did, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can. And then He said, who's worthy not to only take it, but to look thereon? And then He said, who can open those seals? And that book represents the decrees of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. And as you read tonight, you know, He declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, all my counsel shall stand, and I'll do all my pleasure. And so we know this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that come and took God's book. And He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And wherever the Lord Jesus Christ appears, Satan is right pursuing right behind Him. You know, he hates Christ. And he hates Christ's people. And he becomes busy. When Christ begins to work, Satan begins to work. Trials will come. As Satan's Christ's enemy, and he's our enemy. And that's why it says he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now this horse is white. Why is the horse white? White's always associated with holiness, righteousness, purity. You know how many white things are mentioned in the book of Revelation? There's the white garments. There's a white cloud. Our Lord Jesus Christ's hair is white as snow. And the saints will be clothed in white raiment. It tells us that we shall walk in Him, with Him in white. And then there's a great white throne that's mentioned. And then there's that white stone that's given to us with a new name written on it. And with our name written on it, that God gives us a new name written on a white stone. And so this white always represents holiness, righteousness, purity, perfection. And you know, here's, excuse me, white horses were not very used in war very generally. You know why? Because they made the fellow that was riding it conspicuous. You know, if everybody's got dark horses and you're on the white one, they say, that's the fellow to give. They see him standing out real close. But our Lord Jesus Christ, there's no danger of him being hurt. There's no danger of him being defeated. There's no danger of him, anything going to him. I'll tell you what, because our Lord Jesus Christ cannot lose, did not lose, and will never lose. He didn't lose any battle he fought. He didn't lose any soul that he died for. And he never will lose anything that belongs to him. Amen. Nothing. In fact, he's going to take this world and everything that's in it. When he gets done, and he's going to deliver it up and say, Father, here it is. And then that's when we'll be walking with him in white. And then it says this rider, not only is this horse white, but this rider has a bow. And he that sat on him, sat on this white horse, had a bow. Had a bow. And you know, a bow has arrows. He has arrows. A bow. He has a bow, and he has arrows to shoot. Over in Psalm 7, I could take you over and show you. But it says, God hath whet his sword. And he drawed back his bow. And he said he aimed it at the wicked and he lets it fly. And you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he shoots an arrow, he don't shoot at him. He's not like me or you just shooting a bow just to try to hope you hit the target. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he shoots the bow and shoots the arrow, one or two things going to happen. He's going to pierce your heart and make you bow to him and rejoice and bow to him. Or he's going to pierce your soul, and that'll be the arrow of judgment or the arrow of grace. And I tell you what, I thank God that he drew back that bow. And over in Zechariah again, let me tell you this. In Zechariah 10, it says this, out of him comes a corner, out of him comes a battle bow, out of him comes a nail, and out of him comes a battle bow. So our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to pray, Lord, draw back your bow, and you shoot into the hearts of our loved ones, and shoot that arrow of grace in there, and when that arrow of grace pierces that heart, and it makes that heart to bow down and rejoice that he's been shot. And I tell you what, when he shoots an arrow, he's going to hit what he's shooting at. He's going to hit what he's shooting at. Huh? And I tell you what, I'm so thankful that our Lord Jesus Christ is the one on this horse. And he's holy and he's righteous. What you read tonight about the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ. I tell you, it brings tears to my eyes to understand. Thank God that we understand that we do not have a righteousness. Never had one. The only righteousness we have is the righteousness that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us. And it's the very righteousness of God. Huh? And oh, listen, not only did he have a bow, look what it said. What else it said about him. He had a crown. And a crown was given unto him. Given unto him a royal diadem. A royal diadem. Oh my, I remember hearing a story one time. This woman was dying. And somebody was standing there with her, and she kept saying, "Bring, bring." They couldn't understand what she was saying. They thought maybe she wanted some water brought to her. Needed something. He leaned down to her and she said, "Bring, bring. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." That's a good way to... bring forth the round, and crown him Lord of all. Oh my, our Lord Jesus Christ, on him is a crown was given unto him. You know why a crown was given unto him? He's the only one worthy of a crown. You remember over there in Revelations 4, those fellows all had crowns. The 420 elders all had crowns. And before it was all said and done, everyone took off their crowns and laid them at his feet and gave them to him. Oh my. I tell you what, if we have a crown, we're going to give it right back to him. It belongs to him. And I tell you, bring forth that royal diadem. And look what it says. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when you talk about conquering and to conquer, and the word here conquer refers to Christ and to believers. You know, when he talks about overcometh, that same word, you know, he that overcometh, he that conquers. And when he talked about the Lamb prevailed to open that book, that word prevail means to conquer. And Christ goes forth to conquer. Our Lord Jesus told his disciples, he says, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. I've overcome it. You know, in the world you're going to have tribulation. But he says, I've overcome the world. And that word overcome means I've conquered the world. He has said, I've already conquered. Now, if you keep Revelation 6 and look in Revelations 19:11, it's the same horse, same person, and the same rider. It's the same horse and the same rider. Look down here in verse 11. And again, John, you know, he's looking and seeing this white horse. He said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is still Christ, but now look what it says about him. Look how these all capitalized. Every one of these things are capitalized, it says about him. First of all, he's faithful. He's faithful. Thank God he's faithful. And he's true. And he's faithful and he's true. Oh, how faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. He is faithful to his Father, faithful to the Scriptures, faithful to his saints. Faithful, faithful, faithful. He's true. And look what it says here. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Everything our Lord Jesus Christ does, he does it in righteousness. Everything he does it in righteousness. Since he's faithful and true, everything he does it in righteousness. If he does it, it's right. And I mean, because he's righteous, all of his acts have to be righteous. Everything, even if he makes war, it's a righteous war. If he makes judgments, it's a righteous judgment. And then look what it says here. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And listen to this now. And on his head were many crowns. A person can only wear one crown at a time. You can, unless you're the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And look what it says now. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. That means, beloved, that's the blood of his enemies. That's the blood of his enemies. His vesture dipped in blood, and he's making this war, and that's his enemies. His vesture's dipped in blood. And then he's got a name. What is that name? Again, it's capitalized. He's the Word of God. When God speaks, he speaks by Christ. If God got anything to say, he says it by Christ. God, he's the Word of God that went forth, and he went forth by the Word, and he conquers, and he conquers, and he conquers. And look at the armies which were in heaven. They followed him, and they were on white horses, clothed and in fine and white linen. And oh my, And I, look what it says down here now in verse 16. This is what I was trying to get to. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. While he's on that big old white horse now, he has a name written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh my. Huh? Our Lord Jesus Christ. My, my. He is, oh, we just, he wears many diadems, conquered many. That's why he wears all those crowns, because he conquered so many. And the whole theme of Revelation, and what I told you at the beginning, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole of the theme of Revelation in all of Scripture is the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ and His people on this earth. No wonder the apostle asked this question. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ? Who's going to do it? Who in the world is going to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ? Will tribulation do it? Will having a great trial do it? Will persecution do it? Will famine do it? Will peril do it? Would a sword do it? Would life do it? Or would death separate us from the love of Christ? Somebody we love die. Or if somebody comes into your life and that person has life and they separate you from Christ, can that happen? He said, I'm persuaded that neither life or death or angels or principalities nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Huh? You know why? We're more than conquerors. We're added to Him. Huh? That's what He's talking about. I tell you, He said, you know, that we're going to conquer Christ. And He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. And you know, when he talks about the gates of hell, he's talking about hell itself is always right there with its gates. And them gates of hell, they come there and them demons come out of it and they come out of that place and they come fight. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not warring against flesh and blood. Old Billy Sunday, I don't know if any of y'all ever heard of him. He was a big shot evangelist way back in the early. And all this, and he was really a showman. And every once in a while, he'd get a chair. And he said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to beat the devil to death. And he'd just beat with that chair and said, I'm killing the devil. Listen, if you can whip the devil for chairs, you really done something. But we're not fighting flesh and blood. A chair ain't going to hurt Satan. We're fighting against principalities, spiritual weakness in dark places, against spirits. And I tell you what, if we're fighting against flesh and blood, we could probably win. We could probably wrestle somebody and do something and accomplish something. But I tell you this, we cannot whip this spiritual warfare. That's why Christ came to do the warfare on our behalf. That's why He said no one can separate us from the love of God. Where's it at? In Christ Jesus. Huh? Oh, everything we've got's in Christ. And let me show you. Look over here in Revelation 7:14. Look at this. We're talking about God's people. The whole theme of the Revelation and all the Scriptures, the victory of Christ in His church. And one of the elders answered, said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
washed them in red blood, and they come out white. Perfectly white.
So our Lord Jesus Christ, not only does He bring a bow, but you know our Lord also brings a sword. That red horse, He comes with a sword. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He told a bunch one day, He said, "You think that I came to bring peace on earth? No. I come to bring a sword. What are you going to do with a sword? I'm going to set a mother against her daughter-in-law. I'm going to set a father against his son. I'm going to set brother against brother, sister against sister. I'm going to make people, they're going to have to get on one side or the other. If you think you're going to have peace in the house and peace in your family when one of them hates Christ and the other loves Christ, that ain't going to work." And that's what he said. I got a sword. And I'm going to come in your house, and I'm going to come among your family, and I'm going to do something for you, and I'm not going to do something for somebody else in your house. And I tell you what you do, there's going to be a war right there. I remember one time Brother Henry Mahan said, he said, folks wouldn't come to the service. He said, "What, And he said, "Well, Brother Henry wasn't there last week. We had company." Henry said one day, he got up and said, "Has anybody ever had any come in and go to church to hear the gospel?" If that's all it takes, I've got company. I'd rather not go tonight. Oh, my. Well, listen, I'll tell you what you tell company. There's the refrigerator. There's where the water, and this is what you got. You make yourself at home, and I'll be back in an hour and a half or so. Ain't that right?
Yes.
That's what you do. That's what you do. I tell you. And Lord, let me show you this. Look in Psalm 40:45, talking about Christ going forth to conquer and conquering. Oh, our blessed Savior. Oh, nobody like Him. What a blessed Lord. That's why because we hear about Him and understand some few things about Him, it just thrills my heart and soul. But look what He said here. It goes with Christ going forth to conquer and to conquer the faithful and true. And He said here in verse 3, Psalm 45, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously." Oh my. "Ride prosperously because of truth, meekness, and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things." And then look what I said. "Thine eyes are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies." Oh, there he goes, shooting them arrows into the king's enemies. "Whereby the people shall fall unto thee." And who's he talking about here? "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." He's on this white horse going forth to conquer, riding prosperously. Our Lord has conquered. And in conquering, He shall conquer. You look in the Scriptures, all the people that He conquered. Oh, He conquered so many men, so many people. Some notorious people. Saul of Tarsus hated Christ with a passion. But He conquered him. There's Mary Magdalene. Had 7 devils in her. 7. She is completely crazy. Perfectly wicked. And you find her sitting at Christ's feet. Washing His feet with her tears. Oh my. And then there's me. And there's you. Oh Lord, put your hand on my neck if that's what it takes and put me down. Put me down. Oh, don't let me stand up against you. No way. And I tell you what, His conquering of His cause is going forward right now. He's exercising His power and authority in this world right now. And He's exercising His power and authority among His people. Oh, Pilate, you know, he stood before the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ wouldn't answer him. He said, "Answer me." He said, "Don't you know I've got the power to crucify you and I've got the power to let you go?" Our Lord opened His mouth and said, "You ain't got no power. You ain't got no power at all. You don't have any power." And I tell you, people talk about having the power in this world, and this power and that power. I tell you what, they're just pawns in Christ's hands. Huh? Christ is playing out the drama of redemption on the stage of history, and we watch it play out in front of our eyes. We'll watch somebody get up and brag and boast and everybody pay attention to them and go on and on about how great they are. And we'll say, that's just a person that won't even be existed. They won't even remember them in 40, 50 years. Uh-huh. And I tell you, His cause is going on. And you know what means He used to carry His cause forward? Is He used His Word. He uses the Holy Spirit. He uses the witness of His people. And He's got armies in heaven. And those armies in heaven are down here working right now. You know that? You know the Scriptures tells us, and I can prove this, I can show it to you, I could tell you two places. But every single saint of God's got an angel. Do you know that? Yeah, that's one of our Lord's armies. He assigned somebody to us. You know, a big general, he was in the army, and them big generals had A's everywhere, didn't they? This fella going to do that, and this guy's got, there's people following them big generals around, following these big CEOs around, just waiting for them to say, do this and do that and do this other thing. Well, Christ has got an army down here. And Hebrews 11:14 says their ministries, their angels are ministering spirits to be to the heirs of salvation. Huh? Somebody just, you know, say, well, you need to go this way. When you intend to go that way. You know why he went that way? That's where your angels they go that way. And I tell you, His providence is going for it. His intercession. He's victorious. He's conquering. And one of these blessed days, when the last enemy is conquered and destroyed, this thing's going to wind up. Uh-huh. And then let me say this in winding this up. Remember the symbolism here. This horse represents purity and whiteness and glory, strength and power. And our Lord's on that white horse, holy and righteous and pure. And He's got on that right horse, He's got a bow. And bow symbolic of His ability to shoot arrows. He's got crowns on His head showing that He's the rightful heir. And they're pictures and they're telling stories. Now let me, you know, how could Christ, in Revelation 1, how could Christ hold seven stars in one hand and at the same time take His right hand and touch John when he fell as a dead man? How can that happen? That's a picture. That shows that Christ, that's the authority and power and glory that He has. And that's why we'll never be able to fully understand what He does. Seven stars in His hand, John falls as a dead man. Touches him. Said, "Oh, John." And then you got a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. One lamb got seven horns and got seven eyes. That'd be a strange looking lamb. But them seven horns and seven eyes means He sees, He rules perfectly and sees everything perfectly. But because He had that power, He come took the hand out of the book of God. The book out of the hand of God. And over in Revelation it talks about a star that fell from heaven. And with that star had a key. Stars don't have keys. But that star did. So those are all pictures. I'm just trying to tell you, pictures. John's told to look at a lion, he sees a lamb. And over in Revelation 22, he expects to see a bride, and you know what he sees? He sees a city. And when you look at the symbol, you say, boy, what in the world could that possibly mean? But when you look at it in respect to Christ and what He's done and what He's doing and what He's doing for His people and what He's doing in this world, and you look at it in respect to the reality, they become clear. And when you look and see that Christ, this is about Christ, all of it just disappears and you see it clearly. Huh? Yeah, see it clearly. See it clearly. White horse, showing our Lord Jesus Christ. He's got all the power and all the glory. Crowns on His head. Bow in His hand. Oh, what a Savior. Our Savior. Oh, our great God. Our great glorious Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we bow our hearts before You. Oh, Lord, I'm filled with wonder at You. Just filled with absolute wonder. Lost for words to describe You. But every believer in this building gets taken up with Christ. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But we do know that He's our everything. He is our all. He's all we need and He's all we want. We want no more. We want no more but Him. And Lord Jesus, we are so thankful and bless Your holy name that You conquered us. Oh, You conquered me. I was such a rebel, such a stout-hearted, smart mouth, smart aleck, proud, self-righteous rebel. But, oh Lord, You come and conquered me. You conquered me with love. You conquered me with Your cross. You conquered me with Your pity for me, Your compassion for me, and Your great love wherewith You loved me. You conquered me. And Lord, I want to stay conquered. I want to stay conquered. I want to stay submissive. Lord, bless these dear saints and those that we have prayed for. Seth and Kaylee, Jim and Debbie. Others among us, God forgive us of everything that's unlike You, and meet our needs and protect and preserve Your people for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. There's a song that I want to sing tonight.